Everybody to take your fingers, and I want you to like, oh, by the way, children, you are dismissed to children's church. Take your fingers, and I want you to stretch them out real good. I want you to get them real loose, because we're going to do a lot of turning in the Bible today, so just be ready for that. All right? But I do want to take just a moment. Let's pray corporately. I mentioned a couple of folks who are not doing very well, and I just want to pray for those situations corporately as a body. So if everybody would just stand up and let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for the Websters, and we just pray for this situation they're facing with Ken's mom, Lord, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit would be in the midst of the whole situation, Lord. We pray that you'd bring peace. We thank you for the love and the family that's surrounding her, Lord. And Lord, it's never easy to say goodbye to loved ones, but we rest in the hope and in your promises, Lord, that one day we'll be reunited, and most importantly, one day that we'll be face to face with you, Lord. We also pray for our brother Anthony, Lord. Even though it's been a short time that we've had to get to know him, we thank you for his years of service to you in the ministry, Lord. I thank you for his heart, Lord, and I thank you for just choosing us as a church to be that body that's surrounding him in the final weeks of his life, Lord. And again, I just pray that you'd be in the midst of that situation, be in that hospital room. Thank you for the family and love that is there, Lord, and we thank you for the hope that we have in you, Lord. And we pray that both of these situations, Lord, of loss, we pray that you would use it for good, that there would be a testimony for you, Lord, and the hope that we have in you. And we pray for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, pull out your Bibles, if you will. We're going to start today in Proverbs chapter 17. And I was reading the news yesterday. Well, before I get into that, we're starting our questions series. Now, next week starts VBA, Vacation Bible Adventure. It's our biggest outreach of the year. So we're gonna pause this series next week. But this is going to be a four-part series, okay? And this is part one of it. And what I asked of you guys is submit questions that you have about the Bible, and I'll pray about which ones I should speak on. And this is one that came up. It's why is social media so divisive, and what can we do to change that? Now, so we're going to tackle this issue today. By the way, if you want to submit a question, there's multiple ways you can do that. You can slide a piece of paper under my door. I'm not going to try to decipher whose handwriting it is. Don't worry. I'll just take the question. You can also submit them online, anonymously. We won't know that it's you submitting it. If you have a question that you feel is kind of sensitive, but you still want to submit it, you don't have to attach your name to it. You can inbox us on Facebook. You can go to the website, and there's a link on the front page for you to submit questions. So if you have questions about the Bible, I encourage you, please get on there and submit those, and I'll look at those, and my plan is to answer some of your questions. So, social media. How many of you have a social media account? Yeah, a lot of us do. How many of you have a relative who has a social media account? Or know somebody who has a social media account? Because, and that should be everybody. I mean, probably everybody could raise their hand there. And so this sermon is for you, because I've got news for you. If you have a relative or a friend that has a social media account, you're probably on social media already, just to let you know. But social media gets you thinking about like technology, right? And I was reading in the paper yesterday, I was thinking about technology. Louisiana, I don't know if you read this, they officially launched your driver's license can be pulled up on an app on your phone. So there's no need to carry an actual identification anymore. It's linked. You can link it through an app to your phone. If you get pulled over, it's totally acceptable to pull out your digital driver's license, okay? And that got me thinking, like, by the time Elias, my son, is driving, just to think about how far technology has come and how much the world is changing. A wallet and carrying a wallet, by the time my son's driving, that will probably be a foreign concept to his generation. It'll almost be like the 8-track player to him, right? Like a wallet, why would you carry a wallet around? Doesn't it just take up room? But isn't that so true as states are beginning to, I was thinking about it, that is the one and only reason I still carry around a wallet is because if I'm in a hurry to a meeting and I get pulled over, I'm gonna need to produce a driver's license, right? That's the last reason I carry a wallet because, by the way, I also carry my chaplain badge just for such an occasion as well, just in case. But right, that's the only reason to carry a wallet anymore. I mean, everything else is done on your phone. One click, you pull up to the gas pump, one click, you paid for it. You go to the grocery store, one click, you paid for it, right? And so technology, there's no doubt, it's just rapidly changing our society, right? And one thing that has really changed society and had a huge impact on society is social media. It's affected the way that we connect with one another, communicate with one another. One trend I've noticed, I remember I was a teenager when social media really got going, and one trend I've noticed is people have almost disconnected a little more from personal one-on-one relationships, right? Like, I remember when I was a kid, we were always out hanging out with our friends. Like, we were never home. Parents said be back when the streetlights were on, right? And that's what you did. And there was always this one-on-one, right? You always wanted to be with your friends. And I think over time, social media has kind of taken that away, right? And now everybody, they want to be inside their house, right? And they want to be on, the technology and all that. Social media has done some positive things too. It's helped us stay connected to people as families nowadays tend to not live in the same community throughout their lives, and they move all over the country. It's helped keep families connected, old friends connected, which could be a positive or a negative thing. There may be relationships in our lives that God doesn't want us to keep that connection, doesn't want us to keep that relationship, right? So, again, there's the other end. It could be a dangerous thing from that perspective too. So social media, just like anything else, it could be used for good and it could be used for bad, right? And so what we're going to explore today is why can social media sometimes be so divisive, and what can we do to change it? And particularly, what can we do as believers? How should we conduct ourselves on social media? Because the world is watching, amen? And Brother Doug, thank you for that amen. So I'll just share with you this morning, Brother Doug. Amen? So social media, what is it? Social media is websites or applications that enable users to create and share content or to participate in social networking. Probably the most popular one would be like Facebook, right? Everybody's familiar with Facebook. There's also Twitter. You hear in the news about politicians and leaders utilizing Twitter a lot because it's an easy way to get a large audience. Instagram, and then there's others. But as believers, how should we conduct ourselves on social media? You're there at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. We're going to look at several scriptures today that can really apply to how we act on social media. And letter A, always think before you post. Seems pretty simple, but a lot of people don't do it. Always think, okay? Now, it's okay to express your views and your opinions and your beliefs. It's okay to do that. I've done it over the years. I've op-edited and things like that. And, you know, when there's important issues, sometimes the right thing to do is to express and be a voice in the mix of what everybody's wondering about and questioning, okay? But when we do that, it's important that it's always done in a professional manner. Now, as we're gonna see later today, everybody's watching us, and we're to be a light to the world, right? And so anytime we're on social media, it's okay to express views, it's okay to express opinions, but we have to remember to use restraint, to be very careful about, is this really something that I need to share or I need to say publicly, right? And then after we've, even if we've decided that, yes, this is something that I feel I need to speak out about, it should always be done in a professional manner. In other words, we shouldn't use cruel jokes to make our points, right? Or we shouldn't bully anybody online. We shouldn't do any of that. Proverbs 17:27 puts it this way: whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So when you're thinking about posting something, sharing something, commenting on something, that's the first thing we should remember is we already look smart by saying nothing, right? You already have the advantage. You look smart, right? So really think about, is it something that you need to speak out about? And even if you decide, yes, it's something I want to speak out about, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. Do it in a professional manner. Do it in a way that's not meant to bully anyone, to hurt anybody. That's so very important. And that doesn't just apply to social media, right? That applies, all of this stuff can be applied to our daily conversations, right? In how we interact with folks on a daily basis. So we should use wisdom. If you're not sure if you should say something or if you're not sure if you should post something, then the answer is you probably should not, okay? Now there's a few issues that, like me personally, I'm always very vocal about and I give no apology. For example, I'm very pro-life. I give no apology about that, and I'll post pro-life things all day long, and I'll stand behind that decision and be vocal about it. So there are some things that we're justified in being vocal about, and in fact, we almost have a responsibility to be vocal about some things, right? But when it comes to those things that you're saying, should I post this, you know, then the answer is probably no. I probably shouldn't post that, or I probably shouldn't say that, right? Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. We're going to spend a lot of times in Proverbs 18, so if you have a bookmark on you or you want to just put your finger there, in fact, we're going to spend most of our time there today. But turn to Proverbs 18 and verse 1. And the next thing we should think about as believers when we're on social media or when we're interacting with others, don't isolate yourself. Proverbs 18:1 puts it this way: whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks against all sound judgment. How many of you know you're probably not right 110% of the time? Anybody, could you admit that? Yeah. You know, that's true for everyone. I think it's important that we realize that. You know, sometimes when I prepare sermons, I have to be in deep prayer and I have to be really careful that I'm not expressing what I think, but rather I'm expressing the word, you know, and it's easy to fall into that trap. You'll put something down and immediately you realize, you know, the Holy Spirit checks you and you realize, well, is that just my opinion? And do I, in fact, even agree with that? You know? But all of us, we have things that we're wrong about and we have things that we're right about, right? And so when I say don't isolate yourself. And what Scripture says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks against sound judgments. One of the things we tend to do, especially on social media, but also just in our relationships in general, we tend to close off people who maybe have a different point of view than us, right? And many times on social media, we'll see a post we don't like, and what's our reaction to it? A lot of times it's unfriend that person, right? Unfollow them. And that's a reflection of how, you know, we tend to act in our day-to-day lives. We tend to associate with people, you know, we agree with, etc. However, it's important, I think, to really consider when we hear views or see things outside of our thinking, particularly on social media, take a moment and think about it. Now, they could be totally wrong. In fact, I think most of the time when people are expressing opinions on social media, they probably are. But I think it's also still healthy to not isolate yourself and to really think, is this person using sound judgment? What experience has this person had in their lives that is leading them to think this way? And what could I potentially learn from that? So when Scripture tells us don't isolate yourself, really consider when we're hearing things and processing things. And that's what education is. Education goes beyond being in high school and college, because what education is it's processing information and coming to our own conclusions on what's right and wrong, right? Now, some university professors have forgotten that, but that's what education is. That's why you go to school, and as you continue to educate yourself throughout life, which we should all strive to be lifelong learners, that's what education is. It's processing information and coming to a conclusion on what's right, what's wrong. And as believers, we have the Holy Spirit to help us discern those things. Amen? But don't isolate yourself. Really consider what people are saying and consider their experiences in life and ask yourself, are they using sound judgment? Sometimes the answer will be no, and sometimes you may find that it's yes. You know, I love what Abraham Lincoln said once. It's one of his most famous quotes. But he said, you know, I really don't like that person. I should get to know them better. And that was how he lived his life, and that was how his philosophy. If he didn't like somebody or if he didn't like something, he believed that there wasn't enough information for him to process. And he wanted to get to know that person better or get to know the situation better so he could reasonably and wisely process the information that he was receiving. You're there in Proverbs 18:1. We're going to move on to Proverbs 18:2. And this kind of ties into letter B, but letter C is never seek to understand. Never seek to be understood before you seek to understand others. That's always just our natural human motive, is we want to be heard, right? We want to be understood. That's normal. That's natural. That's a completely human instinct. Okay. And so often when we're talking with people, we have to ask ourselves, are we actually listening? Because 9 times out of 10, if you really pay attention to this in your conversations, I challenge you to do that. Try to be conscious. How often do you say I, as opposed to like we, right, or you? And then also be conscious. So often in human conversations, and so often the reason communication breaks down is because we don't actually listen. Most of the time, when somebody else is talking to us, what are we actually doing? We're already thinking about what we're going to say next. And our mind cannot possibly be focused on what somebody else is saying when we're putting together in our minds what our response is going to be or what we have to say, right? And so it's so important. I encourage you, be conscious of that in your conversations this week. And just really think about that. It's so important that we seek to understand others before we seek to have ourselves understood. Proverbs 18:2 puts it this way. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. So seek to understand others. Try to understand where they're coming from. Turn to Proverbs 18. You're already in 18, but move ahead a little bit to verse 13. It says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Now, this is all coming from Proverbs, right? Authored by King Solomon, the wisest person who ever lived. And this is, of course, inspired scripture by God. And it was God who gave Solomon, blessed him with the wisdom that he had. But from the wisest individual in history, inspired by the Holy Spirit, I think it's important we take that seriously, right? And so, and what is Scripture speaking to us? Exactly that. Hear people. Are you really hearing them? We've talked about this in terms of receiving the word many times. It's possible to hear, but not really receive, right? You know, if your ears are functioning properly, or, you know, if you have hearing aids or whatever, it's possible that you're hearing, but you're not really receiving what they're saying, right? And in Christian living, God desires for us to bear one another's burdens, right? And to build one another up as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So it's important that we're listening and making sure we're receiving, we're hearing, we're understanding. Proverbs 18 and verse 3 is where we're going to look next. And letter D, in the age of social media, this is important. This definitely applies to everybody, even if you have never touched a computer in your life or touched a smartphone in your life. This is really important. In the age of social media, in the life of the believer, we should always remember that anything we do can potentially be viewed by countless others, i.e. Tagged photos. I joked earlier that, you know, if you're not on social media but you know somebody who is, then there's a good chance you are. And I was kind of joking about that, but it's also true. People take pictures, you know, they put them on Facebook. They're not necessarily looking to go have everybody sign a release before they put their pictures on Facebook, right? They just put them on there. And so our conduct should always be a witness that we are a believer, that we are followers of Christ, right? And we should be mindful in this day and age of social media, how we act is always so very important, because we just don't know what others are going to be seeing. And really, any moment of our life, probably with the exception of being in the bathroom, because it's illegal to have a camera in the bathroom, that's probably really anymore the only private moments we have in our lives anymore. And anything else could potentially be viewed by countless others. Another example is viral videos. We've seen this again and again on the news, how people get in trouble for seemingly silly things, sometimes more serious things. But they get in a lot of trouble. Why? If somebody pulled out a cell phone and recorded it and put it on social media within minutes, right? And suddenly hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of people are viewing it. So as believers, everything we do should always be a witness of the fact that we are followers of Christ. Amen? Well, a few people agreed with that. Amen? And now you may be sitting there saying, well, I'm sure I'll never be in a viral video. But it's like I said, every little picture that's taken or nowadays, you could end up on social media almost immediately. And even if only one person sees it, even if only one person sees us being a poor witness, then that could change their life forever. It could completely turn them off to the things of God, and they could completely just walk away from that forever because of a poor choice that we made. Now, there's grace and mercy, right? And if we're quick to repent, there's that forgiveness. But it's so important that we always reflect Christ in our actions. Amen? Letter E. Did we look at Proverbs 18:3? When wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. Letter E is strive to be a voice of wisdom and encouragement in an otherwise cruel online world. And actually, I know we're talking particularly about social media, but you could cross out that word online, and you could say strive to be a voice of wisdom and encouragement in an otherwise cruel world, right? One of the most common questions non-believers will ask and will struggle with is, how could such horrible things happen? You know, how could God let the terrible things we hear about on the news, or even the experiences we've gone through, how could a loving God let that happen? And the reality is, we live in a hurting and dying and fallen world. God gave man dominion over the earth, right? And when man made the decision to fall, now the earth is in this state of sin, of death, and of decay. And only through a relationship with Jesus Christ can we be born again. But we still, while we're on the earth, we live in a hurting and dying world. And so we should strive to be a voice of wisdom, of encouragement. We should strive to be the hands and feet of Jesus in an otherwise cruel world. And one of the easiest places to do this is when we're online, when we're on social media. Proverbs 18:4 puts it this way, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 16 and verse 24. It's just back a couple of chapters. Proverbs 16:24, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." Another translation puts it this way, "Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." In a world where people are constantly getting criticism, constantly hearing profanity, constantly being torn down, right? Scripture calls for us to be a positive witness and to speak encouragement and to speak hope into people's lives. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul. They're healing to the body. Take a moment and think about that. When we speak love, encouragement into people's lives, Scripture tells us that's healing to the body. Think about that. Have you ever seen somebody who you knew that they just really had a hard time, and people were always tearing them down, and people were always speaking negative things into their lives? Do you really see that on them? It affects their health. And that's what Scripture tells us. You can really tell when somebody's just always down, depressed, people are constantly beating them down with their words, right? You can see it on their face and how they conduct themselves. But Scripture tells us when we speak positive things, when we speak the hope that can only come from our Lord Jesus Christ, when we speak those things into people's lives, it's literally healing to their bodies. We serve a God who heals, amen? One more time in Proverbs 18, we're going to look at Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Letter F, always, and I capitalized always do due diligence and verify the information you read on social media. If your research cannot confirm that something is accurate, always assume it's probably not. We recently went through an interview process for worship director candidates, and we had several people interested in that. I talked to several individuals on the phone. But one thing I always ask is, you know, what are you doing to continue your education in life, particularly what kind of books are you reading, etc. And then attached to that question, I always ask, where do you get your information? What sources do you use to get reliable information? Because as believers, we're called to pray. And so, right, so we can't be unaware of what's happening. We need to know what to pray for, right? Now we can pray in the Spirit, right? And when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will give us the utterance. But that doesn't mean we can neglect being aware of what's going on around us, right? And we should always know what to pray for and who to be praying for. And so that's one thing I always ask. Where do you get your information? You know what the most popular answer I get is? Facebook. Well, I get my news from Facebook. By the way, that's not a good answer. If you're ever at a job interview and they ask you that question, Facebook's not a good answer. But it's so important we do due diligence to verify the information we're receiving and verify that it's accurate. Proverbs 18:9 puts it this way, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. And I think that puts it so well, right? Because so often folks will see something on Facebook and they'll say, oh, that must be right. That sounds right, right? And then what do? They'll like share it, right? And then all these ridiculous things, they'll be shared and copied. And you know, before we know it, they'll be viral and they'll be all over and people will actually think it's the truth, right? And that's exactly what Proverbs 18 verse 9 is talking about. If you slack in work, this is a perfect example. If you're sharing and broadcasting information that you receive that's inaccurate, that's like being tied to the one who destroys. The enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy, right? He's the father of lies. He comes to confuse, right? And so it's so important as believers, we always do due diligence to verify the information we're receiving, especially before we reshare it. And I have a few slides. I thought I would share a little bit. How can we know that the information we're receiving is accurate? That can be challenging in life in general, but it especially can be challenging online. Because as we know, anybody can go online and basically put whatever they want, right? Or basically act like whoever they want, right? More sophisticated people can do it and without being traced, and that's when you get into identity theft, all those sort of things. So what are some basic things that we can do to verify the information we're receiving is correct? One rule of thumb online that I always follow is think about it in terms of real life, okay? Are you receiving information from a trusted source, okay? So I have a few things here. I thought we'd have a little fun with this, okay? So there's some brands in the United States we've heard of and we trust, right? And so somebody said they don't trust Starbucks. I don't trust Starbucks either. So. But it just turned out to be a really good example, right? But most people in this country, they'd have no problem walking into a Starbucks, right? Giving them their money, trusting that they're going to give them coffee, right? Doesn't have some sort of problem with it, right? And so you're familiar with Starbucks, certainly, yes. But are you familiar with Sunbucks coffee, right? If you were walking down the street, you're like, I'm gonna get some Starbucks today, right? And you see Sunbucks, like, oh, that's good enough. I'll go in there. I'm sure it's just like Starbucks, right? No. As soon as you look at this, you think that's kind of sketchy, right? Seems like I've seen that before, but. And then next, certainly you've heard of Nike, right? Some of you probably wear Nike shoes, right? And they're pretty comfortable shoes, right? They're a trusted brand. I do a little bit of running, and So I don't wear Nike, but it's a brand that I would consider. I wouldn't be opposed to it, right? It's a pretty trusted brand nationally, right? But if you walked into a store and you saw, I don't even know how to pronounce this, if somebody was charging you $50 for these shoes, would you be a little skeptical? Would you be like, I don't know. I don't know if I trust that brand, right? And then there's some others. Certainly you've heard of Windows, Microsoft Windows. But if somebody called you from halfway around the world and wanted to sell you Microsoft Binbos, you might be a little concerned, right? Like that's not something you've heard of, or that's not a brand you trust, right? Certainly you've heard of Burger King, right? There's a Burger King and Slinger. Probably not the best food for you, but once in a while, you know, maybe you get some Burger King. They have pretty good burgers. But, you know, if somebody was advertising Burger Madam and Sir, then you might have some second thoughts about walking into that restaurant, right? And then certainly we've all heard of the Golden Arches McDonald's, but this place I'm not so sure about. If I was in an airport, I would have to be pretty hungry before I even considered walking into that. But you guys get what I'm saying, right? In life, it's really easy to distinguish what we trust and what we don't trust. It's not always easy, but most of the time it is. And even if it isn't, we can do our research, we can do our homework, and we can verify who we can trust and who we cannot trust. It's just the same way online. Think about who you're receiving the information from, and really think about, do I trust this organization? Okay. If the page has some crazy, ridiculous name you've never heard of, you probably can't trust them. Okay. And so then we get into verified pages. So if you're getting your news from ABC 123, Texas is the best Facebook page, right? Not to pick on Texas, but I'm just throwing that out there. Right, then you know that that's not ABC News. It's pretty easy, right? But there is the possibility that people will create Facebook pages posing as news organizations that generally we trust. ABC News, Fox, whoever else, wherever you primarily get your news from. Anybody can go online and put up a page and say that they're ABC News, right? So then you get into verified pages. This is something when you're on your social media accounts you should always be looking for. Is it a verified page? If you put the slide up, I have a couple of examples. If we have those. We don't have those? Okay. Could we work on getting those? So, a verified page, if you click on a page, let's say it says Focus on the Family. That was one of my examples. Okay. So how do you really know it's Focus on the Family? Well, you'll see the name Focus on the Family listed, and immediately to the right of the name of the page, when you're on the main page, immediately to the right, if it's a verified page, you'll see a blue dot and it'll have a check mark. That's a really simple way to know if that's actually Focus on the Family. And what that blue circle with the check mark says is the operators of this page have gone through a thorough vetting process with Facebook, or could be Instagram or Twitter, but whatever the social media platform is, it means that they've gone through a thorough vetting process and Facebook, Twitter, whatever has verified that they are who they said they were. Okay? And so it's really simple way, you don't have to do any work. You know, if you click on a page and they say they're Chick-fil-A and there's not that verified check mark and circle, then they're probably not Chick-fil-A. Okay? It's just a really easy thing that we could do, and it's one way we can do that due diligence. Here it is right here. So this is from the mobile platform, obviously, but you see if you see a post on your news feed and you click, say, oh, it's Focus on the Family, and you click on Focus on the Family. See, we know that's Focus on the Family because of the verified page, okay? And That's generally how every platform does it. You'll see a check mark in a blue circle. Okay. And so, in closing, that's just a little bit about how we can do due diligence to make sure we're receiving and sharing accurate information. In closing, letter G, and I want you to turn one more time today to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So when on social media, and this doesn't just apply to social media, when on social media, but also in life in general, we should always ask ourselves, are we working to build positive relationships aimed at being a positive witness for our Lord Jesus Christ? In everything we do in life, we should be asking ourselves that. And so I just want to leave you with that. I thought it was a really good question. Why can social media be so divisive, and what can we do to change that? And the reality is, just how can we change the fact that social media is so divisive? We can just do what the scripture teaches us to do, right? And we as believers, now not everybody's going to act nice on social media, right? And we can't control the actions of other people. But we as believers can be a light. Scripture tells us we are a light to the world. We are the light of the world, right? And so, especially when we're online, when we're on social media, I encourage you, always keep that in mind. How can we turn things for the good? How can we make things more positive on the online world? It starts with us doing the right thing, and with us being that light that the Lord's called us to be. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to transition here to communion. And so